John chapter 9, starting in verse 32, for context, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees, but also he's not really rebuking the Pharisees yet. We will get to that today. Who is rebuking the Pharisees? Is this blind man? And starting in verse 32, verse 31 actually. So the theme of this book for the Pharisees is they equate knowing the Lord and being right with the Lord. They get it backwards, and we're going to start in verse 31. They say this. They say, "Now we know that God, heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Now we know that's a blatant lie, is because how do you come to the Lord? By being a sinner and praying to the Lord. And Isaiah 50, if you want to put this to note, Isaiah 57 or 55, Isaiah 55 or 57, one of those verses, it talks about that the Lord's arm, his hand, is not shortened, that it cannot save. And it says that he doesn't hear people because of their iniquity, it separates it. But the Lord will, doctrinally, practically, the Lord will hear the sinner's prayer, the person that comes to repentance. And then once you're saved, now you have full access. The veil's broken to the Lord, the great high priest, the great intercessor. So these Pharisees do not understand the God that they're supposed to be teaching about, the scriptures that they are supposed to be teaching about. They are without excuses because they have the same book of Isaiah that we do. And they, so we're going beyond scriptures now. They're blatantly and willingly being spiritually ignorant. And we looked at a couple verses. We looked at Job, and if you want those verses today, after church, just let me know. But they're great verses talking about God does hear sinners when they come to him. But their idea is that if any man is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, there are some people that think that they worship God and doeth his will, but they're not saved because they haven't trusted on the Lord. They haven't called upon him. Verse 32, since the world began, now this is the man now speaking. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man that opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He says, since the beginning, have you heard of anybody opening the eyes of a blind man? And we know that from Isaiah 35, just to recap, it talks about that the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. All right, verse 33. Recapping, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So he says he's confessing them before men. He says he's confessing that he's God before men. So then we talked about him being wise. He's the blind man. He's wiser than the Pharisees. He said when they replied to him, when they asked him that how did this happen? He says, I was blind, but now I see. So he used wisdom. Point number two, when they asked again how he was blind and how he was healed, he asked them if they wanted to be Christ's disciples. So he's rebuttaling to them that they ask him, how did this happen? And he's just telling him, well, I believed on the Lord. But he didn't really believe on the Lord. I shouldn't say that. What I should say is that he's inclining that the power that was his healing, his source of healing, was this man. And finally, they ask him, when they said they did not know who Jesus is, he replied that it's amazing that these men could this man could heal the blind and that they would not know him. So they're asking this idea is, how do you not know a man that has healed the blind? Didn't you hear about this great guy named Jesus that he's healing the sick, he's healing the lame? So they're obviously spiritually ignorant. Okay, starting in verse 34. They answered and said unto him. Now this is what they say unto him. Thou. So they've already made their decision about this blind man. Thou was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They said, you were born in sins, and yet you're going to teach to us? If you were to recap that verse, I would call it self-righteousness, right? So these religious elites cast him out. So why did they cast him out? Because he's ruining He's ruining, he's exposing their wicked heart. Don't think for a minute that while these things are happening, that they're not around a crowd of people. So people are listening, people are engaging. And so they're engaging with, they're listening to Jesus, they're listening to the blind man, and people are around. So this is happening between the two. But I want you to, so keep John 9, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And get there. Matthew chapter 22. Seems I'm got a little blood. Seems like got a cut. All right. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Get some water. So here's what happened. They determined he's born in sins, and they don't want him teaching them because they know everything, and they cast him out. So what do we mean by casting out here? So when you were a Jew, you were tied to the temple, you were tied to the priest, you were tied to all those things, not just for your worship, it was your livelihood. Okay, so a lot of people say, they want, I want today. They want to say, I want this to be a nation run by God. But here's the problem with that. And here's why that doesn't work today. And God knows this. This is why he's working through the church. When you're in a theocracy or a state-run religion, if you have the wrong religion, you're doomed, right? You're doomed. So we have the great freedom to worship our living God, who is the true and living God, but you're also going to have some other religions, right? But God can use that so that we are still free to preach and redeem the time, but we don't want what the Jews had is their society was tied to their religion, okay? So I hope we get that straight, is when they cast him out, that's a big deal. That's not just saying you can't come to our church anymore. It's saying you're ostracized from society. It's a totally different thing. Okay, and this is happening. I know that's happened to the pastor in Canada. So Matthew 22 says this. This is the parable of the wedding feast, verse 11. Okay, so there's this wedding feast, and there's an invitation to the wedding feast, and certain people got the invitation, and certain people didn't. Now watch. And when the king came in to see the guest, so this is the parable. When the king came in to see the guest, this is Jesus explaining the parable. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. In order to be at the wedding, what do you need to be wearing? A wedding garment. Verse 12. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He was without an answer. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now, we're not going to get into the doctrinal point of the wedding or the feast. We're going to get practically and tie it back into to the blind man. What is happening with the wedding feast? They're rejecting the call to the wedding, the consummation of the bridegroom and the bride in the wedding feast. We're the bride, right? We're the bride. So if you've called on the Lord, you're part of the church and you're part of the bride, which is the church. And Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And one day that's what we're called to. We got the wedding garment on, right? We got the robes of righteousness. We got the blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I wanted to tie this in this because God is no, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. He says, he doesn't want anybody to be lost. He came to seek and save that which is lost. So now if we go back to John 9, what are these Pharisees doing? They're being a respecter of persons, right? This man is blind from birth. He was born into his sins. God says, now God looks at that same man and says, no, that's a soul that needs to be saved, and he knows me. See, what God looks at, unlike the Pharisees, he says, I see two people unsaved, two types of people unsaved. I see the blind man that still doesn't know me, and I see the Pharisees, and they both need to come to the wedding feast. They need my wedding garment. They need me because I'm perfect. I'm no respecter of persons. But how interesting is it that those same Pharisees that are casting out this man, just think, if they've never called on the Lord, you know what's going to happen? One day the Lord's going to say, I'm going to cast you out into outer darkness. You see how the Lord always gets the last, I don't want to say the laugh, but he doesn't want them to perish, but the Lord knows. And the Lord's going to cast them out. And it's a very terrible thing, is because being cast out is you're not part of us, right? But praise the Lord, we accepted the Lord. I hope that you're saved and you trust in the Lord. If you haven't, you don't want to be cast out into outer darkness. That's the idea. Their respect of persons, take note, their respect of persons, meaning they favor people and they're determining who's saved and who's not, or who's right with God and who's not. That's not for us to decide. Their respect of persons will not allow them to receive the beggar's testimony. So in other words, if you're proud, you can't be taught. How do you come to the Lord? You need to be humble and humble yourself. Jesus, turn back to John chapter 9 if you're not already there. Jesus, in verse 35 to 38 is one of my favorite passages in this chapter and in the whole Bible, and here's why. Starting in verse 35, let's read it. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? While he gets right to the point, he finds him and he asks him one question. He says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Notice the Lord didn't ask him anything about his works. He didn't ask him anything about what the man did. He just asked him plain and simple, point blank, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And here's the next action, most important. And he worshiped him. So now in these four verses, it is interesting to note, Jesus is alluded to being the Lord heard. This King James Bible is so, so rich with words that we cannot discredit them. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. What does that mean? He went to seek him out. You understand? He went to seek him out. He heard that he was cast out. This man is defending his testimony, and these Pharisees cast him out. Now, if the Lord didn't rise from the dead and didn't die on a cross for our sins, that would have been the end of the blind man, right? That's it. He has nothing to look forward to. But thank the Lord that the Lord sought us out, right? He seeks and saves that which is lost. This man was lost. This blind man was lost. He heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? See, I was once lost, but now I'm found. In fact, Amazing Grace is the hymn is so parallel to this blind man and his story. It's unbelievable. I was lost, but now I'm found. Why? Thank the Lord that God has love enough for me and mercy that he came to seek me. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Hold your place here. Here's the beauty of this whole chapter. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And hold your place here. These Pharisees cast him out. His parents don't want him. Society doesn't want him. The Pharisees don't want him. But you know who wants him? The Lord. The Lord wants him. And if you put your trust and confidence in man, they're going to let you down. They're going to cast you out if you stand up for the Lord. The Lord's never going to cast you out. John chapter 6, verse 35. This is what he says. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Remember, this blind man is a beggar. He's a blind beggar. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. What did the Pharisees do? They saw Jesus, but they didn't believe him. What is he referring to? You saw my miracle working power. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we have these beautiful pictures in this Bible of what it means to trust the Lord and what it means to reject the Lord. And if we're talking to people that don't know the Lord, this is a great passage to just, you don't even need to memorize all the verses, just use this illustration. God put this in the Bible for a reason. These illustrations represent the unsaved man and the saved man, the one who's caught up in religion but rejects him and will be cast out into outer darkness. But the one that was a beggar, guess what I was? Guess what you were? We were beggars that needed to be saved. We were helpless. And we're going to talk about the parallels. In verse 36 of John chapter 9, turn back there. John 9. So Jesus, he says, if anybody comes to me, I will no wise cast out. I won't cast you out. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Take note that he calls him Lord. He calls him Lord, but he inherently calls him Lord. He doesn't say Jesus. He doesn't say sir. He doesn't say master. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He's almost there. He's there. His heart is, he's like, this guy's different from anybody else. His faith is at an all-time high, this blind man. He's almost there. We're seeing a man being actively born again. If you would show me, he's saying, if you would show me who this Son of God is, I would be glad to believe on him. That's what he's saying. He says, if you can show me this Son of God, I would be glad to believe on him. In verse 37, he says, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. The Lord is up front with the beggar of who he is. And you know what? Very few people have had the privilege where Jesus reveals himself and he says, yes, I'm the Son of God, directly to them. In fact, he does it with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He says, I'm the one you're talking to. But I want you to take note. I want you to take note and ties when we talked about the Samaritan woman at the well, or in this case, or the nobleman's son, all these things, take note of how Jesus witnesses to people. Jesus gets into the situation and he's talking to them, but you know what? He doesn't just get to the point sometimes. Sometimes with the woman at the well, he asked for water. He got to know her. He started asking her questions. Folks, sometimes we like to, when we talk to people, listen to the people that are lost with the intent to understand them. First, settle the ground, get the ground level. Instead of just saying, do you know the Lord? Sometimes saying, hey, how are you? Where are you from? You know, get to know them. That's what Jesus did. He got to know them. He got to understand their position. And then he says, do you believe on the Son of God? Do you know Jesus Christ? So there's a practical witnessing point here that we could take from Jesus. Okay. Verse 38, he calls him Lord, and he says, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Here's a practical point. When you trust and call upon the Lord, the natural action should always be worshiping him afterwards, right? Okay, so in verse 9, let's recap. Let's watch the progression. In verse 9, the man, let's look at the man's testimony in the words that he said, okay? We're going to go from verse 9 to verse 38. Starting in verse 9, he says, this is the man's testimony, I am he, okay? Verse 11, he says, I went and I washed. So he listened, he says, he's confirming, this is who I am, I'm the beggar, and then he says, I went and washed. He listened to the command from Jesus, and now he's giving his testimony. I listened to the words of this man, I went and I washed. Verse 11, the result of that, I received sight. So in order to be saved, you need to have your sins washed. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? So you're seeing the parallel here. Jesus is symbolically showing this man the way to salvation. don't you think that Jesus knew what was going to, I kind of think that Jesus was going to meet this man later on. He saw his heart. He's doing things that we don't understand. He's still doing that today. And it's amazing. Now watch, verse 12, he says, these are after those Pharisees say, what happened to you? And he says, I know not. They keep asking him. In verse 15, he just plainly says, I washed. Verse 25, they ask him again, what happened to you? How did you get your sight back? He says, I know not, but he goes, I was blind, now I see. Verse 27, they ask him again, how did you get your sight? He's saying, I've told you already. What is that showing? He is resolute in what happened. He's assured of his testimony. He knows his experience personally with this man. Okay, 36. I might believe on him. I might believe on him. He's not sure yet. And then two verses later, he says, he meets Jesus. He knows Jesus. What is the difference between seeing Jesus and knowing Jesus? He meets this man that he thinks is a prophet and a master and a great teacher. But he says, do you believe that the Son of God is here right now talking to you? And he looks at him and he says, Lord, I believe. Once he has the actual encounter with the words of the living God, he's a changed man. It's not up until that moment he doesn't truly get saved. It's when he talks to the Lord and the Lord says, you know what? I'm the man that gave you the sight, but guess what? I'll go further. I'm the Son of God. Verse 39. So this man goes from blind to believing with a miracle in the midst. We never look at it like that. We say he's blind and then a miracle's performed and then he gets saved. But you know what happened? He's blind. He goes from blind to believing and the miracle's in the midst. The miracle's not as important as what happened to the man's heart. Verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment, because of this, judgment I have come into this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. What a tongue twister, right? So what is he saying? What does he say when he says, which see, not might see? The blind man physically and spiritually gains sight. But the spiritually gaining sight is so much more important is because the contradiction to the blind man getting his physical sight is the more important thing is the Pharisees went away that day more blind, even though they could see. And why is that? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a way to word that. He's saying that light that shines, he says, the result of that, the only way that light shines in the darkness, what happens is I need to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that's through the face of Jesus Christ. That means God was manifest in the flesh, and this man saw it, and he said, not only did this man work a miracle, but he saw Jesus Christ's heart, and that's what caused him to change. He said, he's a beggar. He's seeking mercy every single day, and you know what? Nobody wanted him but Jesus. That's what got the man saved. You know what's a plus? Being able to physically see, even though it's an amazing miracle. And that's what these Pharisees missed. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, can you imagine the tone that they're saying this? Are we blind also? Like they're almost offended. Are we blind also? So they're asking him, are you calling us blind? Verse 41. Jesus said unto them, only he could say this. If you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And here's what he's saying. Until you recognize your weakness, your imperfection, your failure, your sin state, you're going to remain to be spiritually blind. That's what he's saying. He says, you are so blinded by your religion and your works that you have the Savior right in front of you and you didn't even realize it. Your need for Jesus Christ to work a life-changing miracle, He is not going to do it. They're missing the blessing. See, the thing is that these miracles, it didn't change people's hearts because they didn't desire the Lord. But this is why people reject the Lord, and we need to understand this too, because this is what happened to us if we didn't realize this. As soon as you are willing to acknowledge your true condition, if we're willing to acknowledge our true condition, God can work a miracle in us, and that's called salvation. But it takes that pride, that barrier, that pride, and it has to be broken down, obliterated. It has to be destroyed, and you have to fall on your knees. You don't have to fall on your knees, but you have to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he did. Now Jesus, let's go to verse 42. Verse 42, I got to turn a page here. I'm sorry, not verse 42. Verse 40. Go back to verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? So here's the idea. Jesus is talking to this man, and Jesus knows that there's people around there. So we tend to not think about this, okay? But when they say, let his blood be upon us, right? When he's about to be crucified and they're choosing between Barabbas. When you go to the book of Acts, there's this thing called the church. And it says that the church has been added 3,000, right? And then 5,000, right? The church is growing. When you go to Acts chapter 7, there's a man being stoned by the name of Stephen, right? And if you realize and you look closely, there's another man there that witnessed all of that, and his name was Saul of Tarsus. What I'm saying is that when you witness something, bystanders are just as important as the person getting saved. You understand this is that your testimony, who you talk to, sometimes it may go void with them that you're talking to. But if you're talking to other people, you don't know what their heart is going through. You don't know what they're going through, and they're listening not to you. They're listening to the words of God. They're listening to the gospel truth, right? I love to tell the story. So don't ever think that a lot of Christians get discouraged by witnessing engagements because they feel like, well, nobody made a decision that day or not. That's not up for us to decide. God can use that person. He's going to water that seed if he can, right? But we are called to go out and be obedient and tell them, look, we just want to tell you the truth. I just want to tell you the truth about this Jesus. Now, so that's the point I wanted to make there, is because they heard him, right? The voice of the Lord never goes void. It never goes void. Okay. Jesus used this occasion to illustrate the danger of willful spiritual blindness. Notice willful. What does that mean? People have a choice. They have a free will to reject Jesus Christ. So when people ask, why would a loving God send people to hell? That's the reason why. They're rejecting Jesus' forgiveness, right? Those who refuse to acknowledge that they are needy sinners, but who think that they are good and religious, cannot be saved, but remain blind and dead. It's a practical point. This is very true today. Number two, those who acknowledge that they are spiritually dead and sinful can be saved. Now watch the beautiful picture here. We started out at the beginning of this chapter. This man is, number one, he's outside the temple. You know what he is? He's shut out from God, right? We were shut out from God. Number two, in his state, he is blind. So he's unable to see the Savior. That's us. Number three, he was blind from birth, which means us, guess what? We were born into sin. Number four, think about this. And when I saw this, I just said, Lord, thank you for showing me this. And it made my heart full. This man is beyond human help. Think about that. Nobody can really help this man. And nobody does help this man. He's just a beggar. He's helpless. And no man can help him. And all of a sudden, and then number five, he's a beggar. He's a beggar. Salvation is not for sale. It's a gift. You understand? This is what grace is. Jesus sees the beggar, and he's not selling anything like religion does. Religion says, I'll take you in, but here's what you got to do for me. That's what religion does. I hate to say it, but that's what it does. It's not for sale. Salvation is a gift. Now watch, here's number six, point number six, and here's the crux of it. When one comes face to face with Jesus Christ, a life is changed, a spirit is reborn, and a heart is made fleshly from a stony heart. Jesus seeks and saves that which is lost. Jesus was the only man that could help this man in his helpless state. So guess what? You were born with vision, praise the Lord. You grew up with vision, praise the Lord, right? So you have vision, and you know what? None of us can actually honestly sympathize with this blind man because we've never experienced this, right? It's one of those things. But guess what we can all sympathize with? Being helpless in our sinful state when the world's got you down and you don't know a Savior and that's all you have. And that's what the Lord shows this man and the people that heard him, even if they rejected him. You know what? His word doesn't go void. Last point. In John verse 38 proves Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and here's why. And it's very subtle, but it's there. So anybody that says, I'm going to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you show them this verse, and here's why. So let's read John 38 one more time. It says this, Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Verse 39, he just goes on to saying judgment. Did Jesus anywhere in between say, don't worship me? No, he accepts the worship. Jesus is receiving worship, and that is important. It is proof that he is God. Why is that? Exodus 10:23 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. When Jesus met Satan on the Mount of Temptation, and he was being tempted in the wilderness, he defeated him with the word of God. And this is what he quotes, Deuteronomy 6:13. He says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. Jesus Christ properly quotes the truth from the word that only God is to be worshipped. And then he allows this man to worship him. Therefore, Jesus is God. Revelation 19:10. John, the apostle John he's almost either translated, the Lord's giving him a vision, he sees heaven, he has the privilege of seeing heaven, and this is what he says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. He's worshiping something, and he said to him, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So the blind man is not worshiping any other man. He's not worshiping his fellow servant. No. This is what it says. Worship, I have the testimony of Jesus. This angel, this being tells John, he says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John falls down on his knees trying to worship an angel, and the angel says, don't worship me, worship him. In verse 35, here's the summary of the whole chapter, and I want you to, John 9 is full of practical application that hopefully helps you and me. Jesus heard, in verse 35, Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Making the practical point, Jesus Christ will never cast you out if you are willing and wanting to repent of your sins. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This man was ostracized. But you know what the Lord did? He told him to come out from among everybody else. Now watch. What did the Pharisees do? They cast him out, right? They cast him out. What did we read in Matthew 11? They're cast out into outer darkness. So you don't want to be cast out. You want the Lord to have you come out. in the biblical way. You understand? He's saying, come out among them. You're being spiritually separated from the rest. And you know what? That blind man right now is being exalted in heaven. He's got sight. Praise the Lord. Those Pharisees, they're in darkness. It's like Luke 16, right? Lazarus the beggar. Praise the Lord. That's our hope. That's our strength. That's why. Don't ever think that this world can get you down enough to say, forget this world. It's getting me down. We have something so great to look forward to. And that's why we try. That's why every week in and week out, it sounds like the same message. But honestly, we need to be reminded all the time, because we go out into that world and it's like darts. They just get thrown at you and thrown at you. And I just want to make this last point, and then this is it. This is the preaching material. If you're listening online or here or whatever, because this is the most important thing. The gospel. Number one, there are those who are born blind. John 9 verse 1. The man. There are those people who make themselves blind. John 9:40. I don't want to be the one that makes himself blind. Okay, we don't want our family members. A lot of people make themselves blind. Okay, number three, one can suffer from blindness of the mind. There is a mental spiritual blindness, and that's found in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. Number four, there is blindness of the heart, Ephesians chapter 4. Number five, when Jesus came, he recovered sight to the blind. That's found in Luke 4, which proved he was the Lord. Psalm 146. What's the whole point of that statement? The Old Testament prophesied about this one who will give sight to the blind. So that should further your faith in this Bible and what we see. Number six, when John the Baptist was in prison and began to doubt whether Jesus was truly the Messiah and asked, "Are you really the Christ?" Jesus says the greatest proof to John. He says, "John, I am the real deal." Why? Because I'm giving sight to the blind out there. That's what he tells John the Baptist. He goes, of all the things that he's doing, he's healing the lame. He says, there's something about sight that trumps all those other problems because it's connected with your spiritual state. Think about it. The lust of the eyes and the flesh, everything is connected. The gateway to sin is through the eyes, but the gateway to faith is through your ears. That's a common preacher saying, but it's very true. And that's why we're given ears so we can hear the word of God. And finally, number seven, and we'll close in prayer. Isaiah 29:18 says this, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." Praise the Lord. The man didn't wait to know the Lord perfectly to start telling people about him. He started witnessing before he fully understood what he kind of came to the conclusion. God's not going to give us more truth if I'm not using the truth he's giving me so far. Use what God has given you, and then he will give you some more and more. But it's a personal relationship, and that's what it is all about. And he deserves all the worship and praise. Amen. And that, we're going to close in prayer. Let's turn this off.